sorry, Chinese to Latin and then to English. Now this is really handy because this means that everything in density, everything that has form, everything that is validated, lovely word, by our five senses, in our culture is going to be called real because it's tangible. There's a thought. Because you see, the other part problem here is we've got in other cultures that are less three-dimensional, they're less in the third dimension, and what do I mean? They're not so damn stuck in substance. Are more aware that things don't actually matter, that relationships matter, that connectivity matters, that we are actually here as energy beings, that we have a being of light. And I've got other presentations that will be aimed into this. So when we're looking at something that's more yang, I do not mean male and female, sunny sides and shady sides of hell. I mean, as we're in duality, we can do anything, breaking it down to its polar opposite. So to define one thing, we've got to define the other. So we could go down and do this, you know. We've got vibration. Hello, homeopathics don't work, really. Or we could look at the etherics of anything. We could look at what's supposed to be called etheric, which is just hidden, which is really not. It's just if you're stuck over here in one paradigm, you're not going to be able to understand another paradigm. And so it's insubstantial because it doesn't have form. No form. Okay, but you know, that sounds a bit like chi, really, doesn't it? So when we're going to be acupuncturists, we're going to run into swift problems in a culture that validates only that which has got a scientific basis. Now, you know, I'm not going to sit down and define terms, but it might be an idea if you're writing things down to just go have a little line on your page, because I'm not going to do this, because we're actually going to go into pain and neurological problems and bioethics and all sorts of things, because these underpin whether we're even allowed to practice. So when we're looking at chi, it sure as hang isn't about TCM. Whoops, I better stop right there. Now, some people I know are going to get really upset with me presenting. I'm a woman. I'm not Chinese. What would I know? Don't have a PhD. And also, I've just trodden on one of your landmines. I intend to do that a lot. So it might be an idea if you actually stand aside from the personality that's rearing up possibly and go, hang on, just a minute. Maybe there's more to this. Why is she actually even doing this? Because it's real. And when I say it's real, we have people coming in to see us all the time who've got really big problems, and we don't need to be another one. So here's an interesting little non-snowman, and here we have a person. And there's three circles there. Okay, so we've got the physical. Now we've got a handle on the physical, we think. It's all down there. Yeah, to a point. So we could call this the hard drive of a computer. But what I'm really talking about is the biology. Are we talking about the biology in anything? And the usual answer is no, we're not. We're usually talking about the social. And what do I mean that? That tribal business, which is you're in my gang or you're not. And this you're in my gang or you're not means that we have got, when we start looking at ethics, you'll find very quickly that it's all about what I call the middle circle. Whose tribe are we talking about? And then if we just go up a bit more, what we, you know, have not very many words for, which I think is actually more important than anything else, is the essence or the soul of what we're doing. And the soul or the heart of what we're doing is going to be determined by something that we are going to try and define by the middle circle. Well, that's a bit tricky. And I'm just going to leave a question mark, and people, if they are having a religious conversion presently and think, I'm only doing this because I have to do my points, you can feel quite happy because I've just left a blank there. I don't know what I'm going to call it, so I'm just leaving it a blank. So what we have here is another issue that we need to have a think about, which is, what does it mean to me? Okay, so now we've got to define who me is. Now there's another story. And I'll just flip this for a minute, because me depends how you're defining life. And there we go again. Now, I do this with all my presentations. It can look a bit wiffly-waffly, and then all of a sudden we're into the middle of which point to use, so don't worry. So if I'm going to ask a question, who is I? I suspect you're going to come up with the middle circle, because that's how you know everything. It's the filters that you have this time around on the planet. Why are you on the planet? You have to be on the planet, so you've got a physical vehicle. The driver is not necessarily the encoded behavior, and this is how you do everything. So we've got here the social again, and we've got here the biological again, and then we've got, I will call the soul, spirit. Okay, so now we're going to see what rules do we run by. Now this is really important if you're going to talk about ethics, because it very quickly becomes, you know, which cage of belief are we running? So we've got biological. Now that's going to be 7 and 8 year cycles, because we're acupuncturists. It's a template. And if the Jing is working, I've got other stuff I've done on Jing, so we won't worry at the moment. If the Jing is working, then it will just unfold and everything in an orderly fashion will go about its business. And that's the circle of life, and that is, if you like, biological imperatives, etc. You know, I'm just going to have a baby, that sort of thing. But it's set. We can't actually change it. And the only reason we can actually even be here is because we do have our kidney, qi, jing, all the rest of it, functional. Now that's set. So that allows us to be in time and space. So that is our blueprint or template. And we all belong to the human race this time around. And we thus have a herd, as we are mammals. Now, we will revisit this when we're talking about birthing. So, as we have a herd, we also have a tribe. Now, here we run into some issues, quick smart, because this is you're in or you're out stuff. We've got inclusion and we've got exclusion. Now kids do this, you know, little buggers, at school, and you're not in my gang. And there's all sorts of nasty things going on. It's the same as flocks of birds, and it's the same as I've got a PhD and you haven't, so I'm bigger and better than you. I've got the rules and you haven't got the rules. This is what we're going to call evidence, and yours is no good. Okay, you get the drift. So then if we go, we're more than just that. Although I could say, actually, we're stuck in a cage. And that cage is not a particularly comfy spot for some of us. Because that cage is what's classified as me in our culture. In other cultures, not so. But in our culture, we're very tied into, you know, back on the other page, on the right-hand side, we're stuck over there. This is not all a human being is. However, this is what ethics have a tendency to go towards because it's in the paradigm of the dominant male medical scientific, right now in this culture, orthodox reality. And everything that we have to do...
Just checking.
I think that's a really good idea, but what are you checking?
Because something went off and I was just making sure it was still working.
Is it still working?
I'd repeat, it looks like it, yep.
But it did make a sound.
Yeah, that thing goes off after a while.
Yep, that's all right. Still looks good.
Okay, so we'll just do that, so who knows where to start again. Okay, so here we are. Now we're going to go upstairs, if you like.
Is it still recording?
I think so. Do you want to come and have a look? Nothing looks like it's changed.
We all come from the waters.
Hang on just a second.
Am I recording on it?
It was saying recording before, and then that went off. So it's kind of, it appears to have a time frame.
goes off.
So now we've established that we've got a cage of beliefs, and this is what's called a person, and the person dies and that's the end of it. If that's your reality, fine, but a lot of other cultures and a lot of other times, and possibly the truth of the matter is, we have a drop of consciousness, and that's what we're talking about here. So with my drop of consciousness, we're going to say, well, look, I think we probably had a reason for being here. I think we've probably got a soul script, and God forbid, we might use that word karma. And then people might get upset and they go, can you just calm down? Stand outside of your tribal beliefs for a tick and see what else there has been in the past and still is. So we're looking at, I'm going to just say here, soul script. All as is, as in fixed design. There was a reason for things to happen. Now this is going to become really apparent when people come in and they're not happy. Because your treatment didn't work, or they've now been diagnosed as this having this disease or whatever. And I'm going, okay, so who's got the rule book of what life is? It's a fascinating concept. So to get, you know, this is more asking you questions for later. So just, you know, if it brings anything up, please don't take it personally. This is me as a senior therapist who's been writing acupuncture courses at all levels since the early 80s. And I've watched everything change and become more and more and more and more not about qi or heart or shen or what the classics said. And less real. And it depends what you mean by real. So that really is an important piece of information just to encapsulate. Excuse me. So now I'm going to come back to what I did before. Now that there is Heather's gleanings to help people understand things, and sometimes I'll write my little snowman out and I say, look, this is what it all means. And so what does it mean to me? So who is I as where I came from? What is the person that is going to be, I don't believe that, that's not what I think. Fine, but how did you get what you think? And very quickly we get into this good old cognitive dissonance. And I've been interested at those who think they're right, telling everybody that we have to do things that actually are very against nature in order to stay safe and well. So then we have to have a look at what do we mean by those terms, safe, well, what is health, what is disease and all that. Is it not an experience? And as this experience, who the hell is anybody to say it's right or wrong? Which is me going back to this page here. So what is right? What is good? Is good and bad any even what we need to be talking about? I'm an acupuncturist and I'd be inclined to say, is it flowing? And if it is flowing, then at least it's alive. If it is stuck, it's going to cause problems. Now, I think you'll find everybody who's a gardener just knows that there are seasons. We don't have to go on about, you know, the five elements and this and that. They're out there. This is not special. Now, I did a bit of a diversion into the Maya culture because I wanted to know what I didn't have. And I'm about to do the same thing again because there's an awful lot of life that we actually have screened out because they have told us that it doesn't make sense. It's old wives' tales or whatever. And so the traditional wisdom, this is a small fork. We all should be drinking an awful lot more water. So if you could just pause and go and get your water, it'd be a good thing. Have a whole swig of fluid because I am confronting belief systems. So on the subject of belief systems, which then become our moral codes and we are told by the people in the white hats or the black hats or whatever, what we're supposed to think, and those people have a tendency to be male. So if you're going to get upset about Heather looking like a U-boot feminist, sorry, we should all be. Because if we were paying attention to the Mother's Torah, we wouldn't be in this mess. I'll get back to that. So here we have a line. And here we have good old Dr. John Shen. Dr. Hammer's master, my master. Here we have the conception of the physical vehicle and death of the physical vehicle. Impact of influences of anything that is going to Birth. 10 years. I've stuck in 2 years. I'm a mum. Brief diversion. I became an acupuncturist because I had a child and it looked to me like he was going to have a really bad asthma, eczema problem like his dad because, and what would I know, I was nearly 22, his back had the same kink in it at the top that his dad's did. Now, I knew nothing about health except I was on a planet and I had been a gardener. And it just struck me, not knowing at the time that structure determines function, that that probably shouldn't look like that and I'd better do something about it. And so there's me in the back blocks of main arm, upper main arm, hitchhiking with my baby and my pack on my back, which has got my textbooks and his nappies. And there I am getting to Brisbane for the first 6 months because I needed to know what to do to help that kid. At the same time, I did the naturopathy that was around, anything herbal I could find, any massage I could have, because I was being a responsible mum. Now, look, some of us are just too responsible. And mums have a tendency to be that person. So I was that person, and I quickly discovered that, I'm now a single mum and I need to work. And so of course I was going to do what I just knew and nobody else seemed to. So everything I've ever done in my professional life has been as a mother. I think we need more of us. I do not think those who are smart with their pointy hats are helping. So, we have over here a life framework. We know that the closer we are to conception, the less differentiated and the more malleable a human being is. So why are we scanning? Why are we inserting chemicals, calling it best practice? For who? Okay, let's just do a wee diversion. What on earth do you think ethics is? Just write it down. Get yourself your own little, what do you think ethical behaviour, ethical practice, best practice? And then stop and have a think about it from where I've started from. But just what's ethics, you know? We've got to do this ethics. So what does it mean? Because I put you back to biology. This is biology. How we unfold as a flower. I live on the west coast of the South Island in New Zealand. the trees grow like that. They probably got bugger all roots here. They need everything trying to hold them back from the wind. Now you can't tell me that's genetics. Let's pretend we don't have this other world, because it sure as hang, I don't think, ethical to ignore epigenetics, because that's what Chinese medicine and all agrarian cultures were about. This happens when that happens. No randomized controlled trials here. It's just, look, sometimes this happens and then, you know, the shamans or whoever would work out, the planets are in alignment in a different configuration and when this happens and that happens, then this happens. And for the general person, they're not going to get it. But for those of us who've got more awareness, more understanding, we're here for different things than just to go about our business, one foot following the other, we're going to go, just a minute. Okay, so in my just a minute, I was a mum. I did that another 3 times. And so I'm well aware that when we're messed up, let's have a mother who's so freaked out she hates you. Go and have a look at that, write it down, still face experiment. And just see how you could possibly think a woman as a mother could possibly do that to her child in the interests of science, okay? The still face experiment. Okay, so here we go. Here we actually need to be bonded. If we're not going to be bonded, if mum's going to be so freaked out about what's going to happen next, she's going to shut down Bao Mai. Oh, I've jumped into acupuncture speak. And the nourishment, okay, physically even, because why? Because here's one of my lines again, and we've got the physical is only going to be, look at that, fed through other areas. And we have to have life force, and to have life force that would be chi. And then that physically manifests as blood. And you know, let's just go really serious here, then we've got a placenta, and this is all of us, and it came out through our original scar, our navel, and if we were upset at the instant of switching the pericardium function on as the heart's protector, which was our first breath, we're done for the rest of our lives. And that's the work of Dr. John Shen, John F. Shen, in fact, which is available all through my stuff, and I've normally called it Matters of the Heart, and that's on Sharpen Up Your Results currently. Because what you need to understand is there's a whole lot of different ways that people get shut down, and it's generally before they're 10. Quite often before they're 2. Oh, look at that. Now people come in and they want a treatment. Mm-hmm. And they want it fixed by next week. Mm-hmm. Good-o. Ha ha. Amusing, aren't we? We've got a physical thing that's been set in concrete, like that tree that's gone in that direction. It wasn't its genetics to do that. It's on the west coast of the South Island. The Tasman Sea's right there, salt. And there we go. It's growing like that. The whole forest between Hokitika and Kamara Junction is like that. It's on a lean instead of being like that. Now, if you take one of the seeds and plant it elsewhere, it'll do what it should do if it's not got a prevailing wind, if it's got enough soil. And I'm a gardener. Gosh. You know, so I know that I had this brilliant garden up in Weta, which has got apparently 12-foot deep topsoil. So if I got some of that and I stuck some seeds out of the same pod and I put them in a egg carton thingy and I had them under the same conditions, and there we go, I've got my seedlings, and one or two might not live. Okay, so we're down to 10. Okay, so now we've got 10, and I stick one in my garden, one out on the front of the verge where anybody can do anything, one in the cow paddock down the road there, give one to my son who knows nothing about anything. You get the drift. Bonsai one. You're getting more of the drift. What happens is what has happened after it has been sprouted. We've got the seed, we've got the potential. And, you know, we know about Jing, and that's another conversation. But when we're actually being sprouted in here, or we might be an egg, and did you know they have placentas in eggs? I found that out the other day. I have a patient who's rearing geese, and they have blood coming from that egg. Now, what an amazing thing. We eat eggs, right? So if it's like, go and investigate, you know, just as a bit of interest, because we are going to get into reproduction, because that's really what we're doing. The consequences are an awful lot of pain. The consequences are an awful lot of neurological disruption. That's the subject of today, through the lens of ethics, which is who's looking and what are we doing with it. So we've got everything has to come over here and be shown in the physical. It's coming through blood, it's coming through placenta. What runs with our blood? Our shin. Mum's shin is what's nourishing the baby. It's not just the physical. Can we please get off this male-dominated bright idea that we can whip things into a freezer and bring them out again and they're all good? What about the shin? I'm a mother, I will remind you often. So when we're looking at the placenta and the blood, it came from what? Well, we've got mum who's got a shin, and it's also got the physical component. Okay, so we've got the physical over there and we've got the shin over there. What she can or can't nourish that child with is going to be a collection of here and also sacrum, which I'll talk about shortly. So if we're going to listen to the, we better have a scan to see if the placenta's flowing properly. What do we think we're doing subscribing to that? That's going to cause DNA damage. And you can look that up, you know, the dangers of scanning. Oh, it's going to be couched through the ethics of safe practice in Western medicine. We're going to be calling that what the doctors say. What does the doctor say? As if they are the adjudicator of right and wrong. And that's what everybody's bought, because they've gone and they've learned at the university through the lenses of not life experience, not farmers, not mothers, but those who don't have life experience, but they've been given a tick, and they're the ones who have the ticket that allows them to open the other doors, and they're the gatekeepers. However, it's on the foundation of what the elders knew, and it's gradually been, we only need this bit, that capstone's irrelevant until you've got what's underneath it, and then what's underneath it has to be rooted. And we've lost that whole foundation of any form of medicine. So you might ask yourself, as a little aside, on your green bits of paper if you've still got them, what is medicine? And why do we need medicine? Is it bad to not feel it? Are we actually going to learn things by being completely and utterly thrown around by the wind? Possibly. Okay, so what we're doing here is looking at the thirds of our lives. So looking at the thirds of our lives, the most important person in our life is pretty darn obviously that person. And we're not just half-fudging. She grew us. Like the wind tree. And so whatever's going on for Mum, it's going to go on for us. So then we're going to come in as a wee spirit and plonk. Whatever we signed up for is going to happen. So could you, you know, like take a deep breath, have some more water. Don't get upset about what I'm going to uncover. Because this is the beginning of me talking about the ethics and how we got to where we are. Like, it's a big mess. It's a big mess because we're not allowed to do things unless somebody from this side of the table gives us the nod. Now, I went off to Belize. Why did I go to Belize? Because I thought there was a bit more. I'm right. Now, look, I'm going to venture into somewhere that you probably have never seen anybody do a presentation. I'm talking about Mum. We were made here. What is the ethics of taking her out of the equation and saying it's the doctor that does everything? So then we've got a sacrum. In my case, my sacrum is quite broken. Most women have a broken sacrum. If you just stand up now because you're all going, what is this on about? And just feel your own sacrums and you run your hand down and does it get stopped? In my case, yes, it gets stopped. It gets stopped all over the place because I have, the last breakage happened when I fell on this hip and didn't break it. Given I'm over 60, that's useful. But I did break along the hinge. So once you've established that it's a flat, and good luck to you if you're flat, most men are going to go, what's she on about? Because you don't have a hinge, we do. So whenever we fall, we break it. And in the traditional cultures in Central America, even if it was midnight, the parents would show up at the local healer's door to get that fixed. Because if she's had any form of fall as a little girl, that's going to stuff up her ability to make birthing safe. Ah, safe again. Ethics, yeah. It's not whether you've had scans. So here we have a female pelvis, and here we have the sacrum, and there's the coccyx, and we have across there a hinge, which allows us to open more when we are making our children and before we're 27, and we've got the relaxin, which allows us to open more. So I had my first child birthing at nearly 22, so that would have been a lot more flexible than it wanted to be at 39 with the last one. So in my particular case, my coccyx has been broken twice. The last time it disappeared up here. When I'm feeling a lot of people's bodies, for some reason women's tend to all get shifted over there to the right. I don't know what's going on. Just saying. So we need to have our sacrum working, which is all of the stuff I've done and What Dads Can Do work. Everything I've done around birthing all my life as a working person has been around trying to get the flows flowing. Now here we have the sacrum, and here I have, what are we going to find in here? Well, might be surprising to men, but they have a uterus too. It's called a prostate. It's about that size. And minding its own business in the male pelvis, which doesn't look like that, it would look like that. And the urethra would go through there, and when it swelled, they can't pee. Now, it can go to the size of an orange or a grapefruit. There is no space to pee with. And what have we got? We've got lots of fluid metabolism problems, and the blood flow's not happening, and blah, 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 and just on that. How do I sort that out? Well, I press their pericardium 1 on the left-hand side. Only, how did I work that out? I don't know. It is the alarm point. Anyway, Dr. Van Buren, different master, said that when men were puffy here, they had a heart problem. And when women were puffy here, particularly with the veins, they had a heart problem. Okay, so this is women and this is men. So when I'm doing anything with men, particularly with the fertility thing, I'm going to poke there after I've poked CV2. And now my mark is, yeah, I'm going to go and do the 8 extra master points because that's just me. And you know, spleen 4 is wherever it's going to be sorest in that vicinity, and gallbladder 41, same again, it might be on the other side of the tendon. And then I'm just going to store that away and come back later, and I've done the cheek clefts of the 8 extras, and that's part of the transformative package that you might buy. So there's the man and his normal prostate. Okay, so that's him over there. And how did he get his uterus like that? Go and look up dihydrotestosterone. Men have a default setting of being female Birds, again, from the woman I know who's rearing geese, they have a male default setting. Something has to turn on for them to be female. Okay, so here's my menopausal uterus. It's little. Here's the normal size uterus when it's minding its own business. That would have been mine before I had the four kids, but it was probably not bulky anyway, okay? So when you start moving these around, you go, oh shit. How come we miss this in our courses? Because they're written by men. Okay, so here we have woman's uterus minding its own business. Now it can fall in all sorts of funny positions, and then it gets solidified there, and then we run into more mischief. However, just before a period, the normal size uterus will go to there. Now it's twice as heavy, and I'll pass them around to the people that are here. Now, when the uterus has already been stuck in the wrong position, this is going to cause major problems. What the heck do we think we're doing, waffling on about stuck blood? Sure, it's stuck blood. It's a bit more stuck than blood. So, here we have the difference in size. Now, that is without additional growth. That is the... nearly went in the cup of tea. There is the normal size uterus, and there is the normal size uterus. Okay, and in that position. So now I'm going to pretend I'm a uterus. Pass it around. Okay, so I'm now a uterus, and here are my ovaries, and here are my tubes, and I am a uterus, and here is my vagina, and this is my normal position. It is not two-dimensional. Right, so here's one point. Another point is the uterus can flop over on itself and then go into all sorts of different positions. Look, I've got all this on my Heather Bruce Healing and on the mayahealing.com.au sites. Anyway, so here we are. That's a good idea. We can photograph Heather pretending she's a uterus. So here we go. There's me being a uterus, and in front of me is the bladder, and behind me is the colon, and around me is the pelvis. Except I've fallen over because I've been drunk, and I don't know, I was on my high heels, fell down the stairs, whatever. Okay, so now we've got an issue, because if you remember the different sizes, may or may not be a problem when the uterus is the right position, but before a period, holy heck, she's going to be going to the loo every 5 minutes. It just hurts. There's something wrong. The clitoris is not happy. You can be bunging in liver 5 as long as you like. You might have to do something else about this. And Bartholin's cyst and whatnot. Or it's come backwards. She's got a backache. Funny that. And no amount of chiropractic and kidney 23s are going to really make it much of a difference, because we need to put the uterus back in position. And so that's just in two dimensions here, and you know, before a period it's going to get a lot bigger, it's going to then stop pooing, and there's going to be smelly discharges from the uterus because the two of them are sharing space, aren't they? All can fall to the one side there or t'other side there, and then we've got all of those blood vessels on that side and not on the other, and we've got all of that fluid down there, and we've got, oh whoops, what's happened over here? Well, funnily enough, we've got a bit more to go on here. No ligaments. Who thought about ligaments? Somebody forgot to mention that women's ligaments aren't the ones that you see in a cadaver. They're living. And when we get pissed off, as we all know, our stuck liver chi doesn't like things much, and so it stops flowing. And here we have what we should normally look like inside. Right, this is my broad ligament. This is the most important ligament you've got. Ligaments in the body only have 5% of the blood flow at any one time, apparently. Oh dear, there's rather a lot of ligaments holding us together, you know, what with our toes and our spines and whatnot. And only 5% of the blood flow's going there at any one time. So now we've got a kink over here, and we're over here like this for the rest of our lives. Yes, right. Now she's got cysts and nodules, and she's been told her AMH is no good, and this, that, and the next thing. Hello. 35 years of being a gynecological specialist, I finally found this stuff out. This is not good enough. Is it ethical for us to be listening to the male version of life? No. So that's me going, well, that's why I went off and I did a diversion, because we need to know a bit more, because everything is out of balance if our uterus isn't in the right place. They snipped it out, jolly good. What do you think happened to those ligaments? They're still standing around, and everything is falling in the space. Now, how ethical is that? Who thought that model up? Well, the Mayas obviously didn't. And so they have women sitting on the perineal steamers, which I now do with everybody. There's massage that you can do. I discovered the amazing work I already have in the What Dads Can Do book. Can you pass me your What Dads Can Do over there, please? And I'm not really doing product placement so much as who else is going to tell you? Okay, this is not a birth preparation kit, except it is. In the back of it, there is a video thing you can watch, which is now online. But what I did all through this, and yes, you know, some of it's a bit graphic, is I worked out how to run the woman's body, and this is the glove box manual. And I put that together in 2005 because I was fed up with every woman ending up like me, not married to any of the fathers of their children. And so all of this work is about undoing the sacrum. It's before I found the Maya stuff, and it's about the sacral moxifen stuff, and it's about the massaging in here, it's about undoing all of this. And because I now know how to do advanced structural work, I can test what my acupuncture was doing and is doing up against what I would have done if I only knew that bit. Now I've got lots of bits in my jigsaw puzzle now, and that bit, the Maya, goes with the Avago work, and I think everybody who is any form of energy worker should be going and looking at different traditions, not just what we're allowed to hear from the Chinese. Because everybody forgot that there was a woman's language which was not written down. You need to go and perhaps investigate what I call the genre of the weeping women of China. It's a whole genre. It came out in about the 1990s. It was at its peak. Started with The Wild Swans, the book The Wild Swan. Life and Death in Shanghai is an amazing book. There are so many of them and they all tell the same story. Look, really, they all tell the same story. Now, those who are Chinese might get upset at this point. Sorry. History gets rewritten according to the victor. However, if you go and look at a woman's... she called the book The Good Woman of China, Jing Ran. Now, the one I like best is Sky Burial. But start with The Good Woman of China. Now, when I was teaching acupuncturists, they had such a huge reading list and it was all novels. Because people learn by stories, and these stories don't need randomized controlled trials. This is what happened, and everybody's pretending it didn't. Much like the female infanticide that's still going on in different places of the world. So she ran, I think she may not have a G. It's a long time since I looked at that anyway. Look at The Good Women of China, Jing Ran, and Sky Burial. So the story that comes out of all of the stuff that you'll find there is incredible deprivation. And they're talking about survival. And that's the bottom circle. Through having to live in a feudal society when there's always going to be I've got and I don't haves, and everybody trying to attack everybody else. And then the dominant reality becomes those who've got the power and those who've got the status and those who have the ability to control others. Now, that sounds rather much like the medical profession. That sounds rather much like you don't have a degree so you can't, you don't have a license to touch, to me. However, in times past, the women tended. And this tending business is terribly important. You know, kissing it better when you're little. Shall we go and have a look at placebo? Jumping around about a bit. Could you write down what you think placebo means? Because then we've got sham acupuncture. Now, I've got to say, that just irritates me in no end, because all I ever do is sham acupuncture. I don't twiddle the needles. So therefore, gee, I must be an incredible witch. Yeah, you must be right. So, Ted Kaptchuk. Write down Ted Kaptchuk. Yes, he wrote The Web That Has No Weaver. I saw him before he wrote The Web That Has No Weaver. And after he had written that book, he felt it was as though a great millstone around his neck, because he was defined by it. And he moved on from there. Right. Anyway, he was so horrified that what he might be doing might be seen as being psychic therapy or psychic healing or something, he went off and discovered stuff. And so he's been sitting in placebo for ages. And it's a very interesting thing, because you could say it's the effect of an inert substance. You might want to hang on to that piece of information for later when we're talking about vaccinations. However, he seems to define it, well, he did in 2014 in a seminar, a surrogate marker of which that which surrounds the pill. Okay, we've got a sugar pill. And there's an awful lot of work, and you know, like, so we double the dose of the sugar pill. It's serious. This is serious stuff. So here we have our line again. What's reality? Oh, it's the pill. Pill, procedure. This brings me into who owns the healing pretty darn quickly. Those clever people over here. You come to me for X number of times and I'll fix it. Really? Good work. Okay, so this is the therapeutic agent. What somebody does to you. Well, we might just go, I wonder what karmic connection we have with that person. We have to keep on going back to that person and we feel as though they're the only person who can help us or whatever. That's the top circle. The middle circle is, Mum said the doctor's always right. And it was put in at such an early age. Remember, the first half of your impact of life is Mum. So whatever was the reality Mum had at that point is Mum's reality. Or we could look at, you know, we're doing a therapeutic intervention. Might it be the container? Might it not be the pill so much as, or the therapy, you know, like you can look at the sham operations, they open them and shut them again. The ones that weren't tinkered with did better. It's the surrogate marker of what surrounds the pill. Okay, so it's holding the space for the non-physical component of anything that we do, which includes hello, how are you, includes clearing the space, being clear yourself. So he's called it the embodied moral experience, including the laying on of hands. The embodied moral experience, including the laying on of hands. We're primates. We touch. We could touch. Expressions of kindness, acts of decency, and a commitment to being present. Right, I'm sure there's an awful lot more. So this is a bit tricky, because when we think we're going to do an evidence-based trial for our meta-statistical analysis, we're also going to pretend that everything is exactly the same except the one different thing we're doing. Oh, come on. Mothers know that you can't act the same way with every child. And on the same day, even, they might be different. And farmers know that some cows are just ornery. They'll probably end up as on the table. You know, like, and some days, you know, the wind's blowing from the wrong direction. And from experience, we know if we plant today, it's probably not going to work because the moon's in the wrong space. It's called experience. And life experience is that which is lived, not which is told. And that told stuff, which is written down, might be useful. The sage has said something, well, that might be useful, but I'm sure there was a damn sight more women running around doing other things, and that was all based, you know, like it had to be founded on something. I'm going to go back to beliefs. You know, I'm in a taxi, and I'm asking the guy about traditional, you know, like what do you do when you get sick? Well, I go to the doctor and they tell me what I've got, and then I can't afford the medication, so then I go to Granny and she fixes it. So they're in between, they're bridging, you know. They've got something like, I don't know, 90% or more of the world's botanically useful medicinal plants, which are being raised in order to make soybean crops, in order to make blah, 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 feed the cows, the McDonald's, okay? So when it's all gone, it's all gone. Look up Sestoon. I think it's pronounced like that, and I think it might be the book might look like that by Rosita Avego. Get the book. You can actually download a tiny little bit of the movie on my mayahealing.com.au site. You cut down the forest, you've lost your medication. You've also lost the lungs of the planet. Is it ethical for us to be eating meat? There's a question. Is it ethical for us to be allowing those who've got the money to rape and pillage? There's a question. Is it ethical that we should only listen to those who've got the right tick in the box to ask them what to do to help? That's another question. And that's what you're sitting here having a think about, I hope. Because we need to go back to what the mothers did. We need to go back to what the grandmothers did. We need to go and investigate what it means to us. That's an old wives' tale. Yes, it is. Don't sit on the cold concrete. You've just washed your hair, and now you're not allowed outside. You can't go to bed with your wet hair. Just think of all the things that your mother said. Now, she might not have known why not, because her mother said, hello, it's the mother's Torah again. That part, which is insubstantial, which actually glues the whole culture together, is we are mammals and we are our children till they're about four. Well, they're not being breastfed, and they're not in our orbit. Somebody else who's getting paid very little is looking after them. And then we're going to throw them at school. Oh, yeah. So whose dominant reality is going to go into their heads? And I say that because I've got children born in different ages. Yes, they are a different age, but they were born in different ages.